final recording on the Eastern question. We have had for our scripture reading Psalm 2, and we propose looking at some of the prophecies in scripture as to the part to be played by Jerusalem when the holy city is finally delivered from the enemy and becomes the center of world government. Although we have not mentioned it before, we have it on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jerusalem is to be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. As we saw in our previous study as to the final siege of Jerusalem, the city is to be taken, the houses rifled and so on, so that this treading down by the Gentiles will go on until the Lord descends to the Mount of Olives to deliver it and to destroy the invaders. Having accomplished this, the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9 will be fulfilled, which says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth," and the prayer the Lord taught his disciples will be answered. That prayer, which you remember, comes in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And there, of course, you have a millennial peace in prospect. Where there are more wills than one, there can be no peace, no rest. There must necessarily be conflict and confusion. And the one will is the secret of all disturbance in families, parties, nations, and so on. There is more than one will. Peace. How men have striven to create organizations designed to keep the peace among the nations of the world. After the First World War, the League of Nations was formed, and an uneasy sort of peace prevailed for about 20 years. But that league came to an untimely end during the Second World War. On June the 26th, 1945, the United Nations Charter was signed at San Francisco. It has been obvious over the years and from recent events that this organization is powerless to prevent the outbreak of wars, largely because the member nations are far from being in agreement. In fact, it has been dubbed the disunited nations. As we said a moment ago, where there is more than one will, there is almost bound to be differences of opinion and a conflict of ideas. Democratic government may sound ideal in theory, but in practice it is certainly not the best nor the most efficient form of government. A dictatorship gets things done far quicker and with much less fuss, because of the singleness of purpose and freedom from the necessity to compromise. Those of our hearers who have had experience of committee work of any kind will often have felt like agreeing with the dictum that a committee of two is one too many. Of course, the trouble about dictatorship is that there never has been, and never will be, a perfect human dictator. Power goes to a man's head, and eventually he will abuse the use of that power and use it for his own selfish ends and aggrandizement. There is only one perfect form of government, and it is a theocracy. Government by the immediate direction of God. And this is where Jerusalem comes in, because that city is to be the seat of such a government. The history of Jerusalem opens and closes with a priest-king of God's appointing. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18 speaks of Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So there you have a king-priest at the commencement. We turn to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. Verse 12 talks about the man whose name is the branch. And verse 13 says, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And so, at long last, there will be righteous government over all the earth. We're afraid these talks have sounded very much like history lessons, but somebody has said that prophecy is simply God writing history in advance. And there are so many prophecies that look forward to world government going out from Jerusalem that we can only select a few to quote in our limited time. God's purpose for Israel from the time when he delivered them out of Egypt was that they were to be a kingdom of priests and a blessing to other nations. As soon as they came to Sinai, Moses was instructed by God to tell them this. And Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3 speaks of this. Exodus 19:3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, that awe-inspiring chapter setting out for Israel the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience, we read in verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Of course, we know that as a nation, they failed and incurred the awful fulfillment to the very letter of the curses pronounced upon them. But the day is fast approaching when they will look on him whom they have pierced and will acknowledge him as their Messiah. We turn to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 7. Isaiah 25:7, and he, the Lord, will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Many of the Psalms make reference to the kingdom which is to be set up on earth. We have already read Psalm 2, and we trust our hearers will read it themselves. We turn to Psalm 46, Psalm 46 and verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The next psalm, Psalm 47 and verse 1. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. Verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the nations. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Psalms 96, 97, 98, and 99 form two pairs of psalms with the same theme, the coming rest for the earth, to which creation looks forward under the rule of righteousness. Psalms 96 and 98, in their opening verses, both call on all the earth to sing unto the Lord a new song. And Psalms 97 and 99 give the reason for this new song. It is because the Lord reigneth, and both these psalms finish with a reference to the holiness of God, and this is in harmony with the closing verses of Zechariah's prophecy, which says that everything in Jerusalem at that day will be holiness unto the Lord. We turn on to Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. So there is the priest and the king again, you see. Let's turn once again to the prophecy of Isaiah and read from chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. There it is. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more. Turn on a few pages to chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of the Ages, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Speaking in Isaiah chapter 59 of the Redeemer coming to Zion, chapter 60 goes on to say in verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Verse 11. "Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles," margin wealth, the wealth of the Gentiles, "and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." Verse 14, "The sons also of them that oppress thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." Turn now over the page to chapter 62 and verse 1. Isaiah 62 verse 1. "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Verse 6, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Verse 10, Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Turn over a few more pages to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 8. "For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." Well, now we wonder how those who maintain that there is no future for Israel as a nation manage to deal with this prediction of David's resurrection in order that he may be the Lord's viceroy on earth in connection with Israel. Even if they spiritualize this prophecy out of the way somehow or other, there are still others asserting the same thing. And don't let us forget that this is the word of God. Let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 23. Ezekiel 34:23. "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Turn over a page or two to chapter 37. Chapter 37 and the last part of verse 23. The last half of verse 23 says, "But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children for ever, and my servant David shall be their prince for ever." Turn over again to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Daniel 7 and verse 13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." And a few pages further on to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3 verse 4. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." We turn again to the prophecy of Zechariah, which has so much to tell us of events at Jerusalem in the latter days, and to which we have constantly referred in these short talks. Some of our hearers might like to listen to a more detailed study of the whole of Zechariah's prophecy on a series of tapes numbered H11-26, obtainable on loan from Mr. John Porter, Arthur House, Barnett Lane, Totteridge, London, North 20, or, if living in the North or South America, from Berean Tape Recording Ministry, P.O. Box 3249, Scottsdale, Arizona, USA. Let us read from Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he hath roused himself up out of his holy habitation." Chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Zechariah and verse 20. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And finally, in chapter 14 and verse 16, Zechariah 14, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In view of all these and many other prophecies to the same effect, how can it possibly be maintained that there is no future for the people of Israel? They are already accounted as a nation for the seat on the United Nations organization. We are reminded of Paul's word in Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And he goes on to say, God has not cast them away. And so, world government is not to be centered in New York, Geneva, or any other capital city, but in Jerusalem, the city of God. We believe that the members of the church, which is Christ's body, will see these things from their appointed place in the heavenlies, far above all, their blessed hope having been realized prior to this restoration of the kingdom to Israel.